Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade's a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas, from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au. Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. We are rounding into the home straight of the Supercoach season with one last Origin hurdle to jump before we sprint to the finish line. Here to tell us the best way to get the whip out and ride our teams home, it's Wilf.
Hey Joe, it's good to be back. I've had a bit of some time off last week and it was good. I didn't fully disconnect because I don't think you really can as a Supercoach, but you know, internet was patchy, so yeah, it was nice.
Internet being patchy is a great kind of forced isolation bit, isn't it? Where you can disconnect. And obviously you did the solo pod last week. I got poached by the Supercoach Hub guys to fill in for a week. So yeah, it feels like a little while since we've been on the blower together.
Yeah, and it's always nice. It's like that kind of familiar feeling where you just sit back down and you're like, this feels about right.
Well, let us take you through some home cooking, listeners. That's something you're familiar with. What do you got for us this week, mate?
I didn't want to jump straight into crowing about how I had such a great round last round, but yeah, to be fair, I was pretty happy with it. 1090, it saw me go up a little bit. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, right?
It was a cracking week, mate. 1090, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the Wilson trade-in over Munro, even though probably wasn't that much difference in the end, but I think you pretty much ticked all the boxes, mate. You got your trades right and, yeah, you're up to the 2700s now.
Yeah, it was a little bit unfortunate. I didn't really want to make my third trade and it was just because of Harrison Edwards being ruled out. I was like, I really didn't want Ronnie or AJ's score in my third team, so I made a bit of enough move. In the end, it only gave me an extra 10, 15 points, but what it also did was it freed up a whole heap of coin that I've got. I've got over 500 grand to spend this round, so gone shopping. But we'll come to that, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a bad round from yourself. You cracked four figures, right?
Yeah, so a couple of maybe two or three red arrows in a row for me saw me drop out of the top 1,000 for the first time this year. But, yeah, 1007 got me back into exactly 900. So, yeah, I'm pushing to maybe the top 100s are starting to be a bit of a pipe dream, but the team's in pretty good shape. So maybe top 200 is probably the goal at this point.
I appreciate the very casual, very subtle flex about first time out of the top 1,000.
I mean, if this was a video podcast, mate, I've got the guns out, so, you know.
But to be fair, it's good old Bear who's pacing all the champs. He's sitting in the top 300. He's had another good round, and, yeah, he's only a couple hundred points ahead of yourself, but it's kind of scary how, like, it's really spreading out. Like, you talk about top 100 being a bit of a pipe dream. Like, I don't think it is for you yet, but it's definitely getting tougher and tougher. And as teams become more and more similar, as we see often in the back end of the season, it's going to be harder for sure to chase those ranks. So I think round 20 might be the last opportunity, depending on what carnage we get post-Origin. But it really feels like this might be the last massive moving round for a lot of super coaches. So be really interesting there. Honestly, Matty, Timmy, I think they're both head-to-head players by now, aren't they?
Yeah, 6K and 12K respectively in their ranks. Matt, 869 kind of gives away what his focus is on at the moment. But Tim, you know, he cracked, he got a 1026, so he's still kind of trying to do the best overall, I reckon. But look, our champs doing better than us, aren't they?
Far better. We've got two guys who've actually been up the top a fair bit in recent years. We've got Rhys, the coach of Thrawn's Legion. That might be a name if you're a faithful listener, you might have heard him mentioned a few times in the past, but he's pacing all of the champs now, moved into the 75th overall. And then he's closely followed by Rod, coach of Team Bozza. Rod actually came 18th last year and was our champs only bonus leader from last season. So that's a really strong effort to be back in the top 100. In contention for, again, to be our champs only bonus leader.
And just became a dad too, so shout out to Rod as well.
Yeah, dad for the second time, I believe. So yeah, massive, massive congrats there, Rod. In our leagues, we've got champions 1 and 21st overall. The Podmasters Cup still sitting in 6 overall. It's going to get be pretty tough to chase down the top overall leagues. We've got the Secret Society guys really going strong there, so well done to them. But I'm sure the Podmasters are going to give it a good crack to see if we can sneak into first again. But anyway, that's enough of that. Let's look at the news for this week. Look, I guess it's probably been a bit of an interesting lead up to Origin, right? I think we've all maybe not been used to the media silence or, you know, lack of hype, lack of information coming out about Origin. And I think, you know, for those who haven't been following, or if you've been under an NRL-sized rock recently, it's because of obviously the RLPA, the Rugby League Players Association, decision to, I guess, put their players on a media ban aside from Mondays and Tuesdays, I believe. So this is in response to the dispute, ongoing dispute, I suppose you could say, in their discussions, negotiations with the NRL over the collective bargaining agreement. So look, we're not going to get too into the weeds in terms of the details of what's going on, but there's been a lot of media articles come out about basically media whinging about players not doing media, right?
I just think a lot of pearl clutching, a lot of crisis merchants desperately seeking content for column inches.
And it's kind of funny that they're whinging about the lack of content because they can't get some player quotes about, you know, they want to give full credit to the boys and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, classic journalism. I guess suffice to say, Wilf, you know, we talked about this on air. If you've been following it closely, you know what the deal is. But look, if you haven't, the Players Association is asking for some really basic stuff, stuff that NFL players, NBA players, you know, name your professional league overseas that's run to any particular standard, and it's just stuff that aren't negotiation points because the players just have all of these things, and you know the NRL won't come to the table. Get the sense that there's a bit of PVL style ego involved here because they're not asking for any money; they're just asking for, you know, a voice in certain things. So, yeah, look, I completely sympathise if you don't have an appetite to hear too much about, you know, union demands versus what the NRL is. But look, take from us, I think they're asking for some pretty basic things and hope they get it.
Yeah, to be fair, I think both sides have not, you know, covered themselves in glory in terms of how they've conducted the negotiations. I think, you know, you talked about the PVL type in negotiations. There's a lot of take it or leave it, ultimatums being handed out left, right, and center by the NRL. It's like, this is our final offer. You take it or you don't. And they walk away from the negotiating table. And then the RLPA don't have much choice. They've got to take some sort of action to bring them back to the table. So effectively, this is their latest attempt to bring the NRL back to continue discussions. You talked about the money side of things. Look, for the most part, there isn't a huge differential in terms of what they're trying to discuss money-wise. There's bits and pieces that might still, you know, need to be sorted out, but a lot of it comes down to control. And look, as you pointed out, there's a lot of consistency in terms of what the RLPA are asking for in terms of the rights and entitlements that the players might have compared to many other professional sporting leagues. So yeah, I just hope that it's sorted out sooner rather than later, because I think we're all sick of hearing about it. It's not good for the game. And I think the longer this drags out, the more I feel that the NRL are trying to really turn the fans against the players, which is really, it's just dirty negotiation tactics, honestly. I think I've seen a lot of that, and I feel really sorry for the players that they have to, you know, the amount of times I see people talking about, well, you know, you're getting six-figure salary, stop whinging, get out there and play. And, you know, it's like that whole, if you followed the NBA, it's like that shut up and dribble type stuff, right?
Yeah. And I know that we've kind of talked a lot about someone like a James Tedesco this year about the miles on the legs and how the impact of the pretty brutal schedule, particularly if you're a rep player in recent years. Well, one of the sticking points is, you know, the NRL looks like they want to add another two rounds onto the season. The players are like, we're not necessarily against that, but we want to actually be decision makers in that, as opposed to just kind of you from the mountaintop handing down that, oh, we're just going to add another, you know, two games a year onto what is already a pretty brutal schedule. So, yeah, hard not to feel for them. But, look, plenty of other news to talk about, Matt.
Yeah, to a more positive thing, I guess a lot of if you've been, you know, watching the footy, you've probably seen a lot of try celebrations recently. It's Try Dry, as they say. You know, it's a sports bet initiative, I think. And, you know, they're basically donating money to charity. I think it's $1,000 per try celebration. I wanted to highlight the Raiders and the Ashes-inspired celebration, which I think that prompted Sportsbet to donate $10,000. It was that good. I mean, I'm sure you saw it, right?
I did. I think we probably all have. Speaking of pearl clutching, no less than Piers Morgan was, you know, calling Elliot Whitehead a traitor to his country and, you know, all of the freaking out. So anyone that can tweak Piers Morgan's nose is a winner in my book.
Yeah, I loved it. I wish we could see more of it, not just in July. So it's funny because, you know, the NFL take away, you know, taunting and stuff like that. They're kind of just trying to discourage some of this showboating, but I'm all for it. I love it.
I enjoy the novelty of it. I think if it was an every week thing, then the cleverness starts coming out of it is probably the issue. But speaking of winners, mate, the biggest news of the week for me is that my boy Josh Reynolds got the tap on the shoulder, Josh Papali'i style, and is choosing to retire from the game. A bloke whose heart is probably as big as his body, certainly bigger than his brain. But, yeah, loved watching him run out in the blue and white.
Yeah, look, I think it's fitting that at least he gets to finish it in Bulldogs colours, given obviously his career. I think, you know, sure, he hasn't really got the career highlights, perhaps, or the you know, list of achievements that many other Origin players may have had. But I guess he's got such a good reputation in terms of, you know, what he brings to a team, right? He genuinely seems like that type of guy where you'd love to have him as a teammate. He might be a bit of a grub, as per his nickname, on the field, but when you're playing in the same jersey as him, you love him to bits and you'd love to have him beside yourself.
Yeah, and fitting that the news is in an Origin week too, because, you know, apart from the two grand finals he made for the Doggies, he's probably most fondly remembered for, you know, being part of the Doggies halves combo for New South Wales that broke the eight in a row. So, yeah, I'm sure New South Wales supporters view him equally as fondly.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
So we'll start, I guess, with the Bulldogs. So there's a couple of big ones there. Ryan Sutton, though, he looked pretty disturbing on the field, but thankfully, you know, after going to hospital and getting scans and all that, he's been cleared of serious injury. The Dragons are a little bit in the wars. They've got quite a few struggling. So Jaden Sullivan with a hamstring, Jacob Little, another head knock. So I believe he's going to go through the protocols and all of that. Paul Turner, we thought it'd be a one and done. Unfortunately, his one was even cut short due to a, you know, copping some knees in the back, basically. And former cheapy Ben Murdoch-Masilla gone for a while with a knee issue. Sam Walker, just a brief update on that. Seems like he's still going to be a while away. I think he was trying to play reserve grade last round, but he couldn't even make it through one of the training sessions. So it seems like he might still be gone for a bit, which I think will have some flow-on effects for Roosters players in particular. Jeremy Marshall-King, obviously a very late withdrawal last week. Absolute dagger for those who had been, you know, patiently holding and bearing with this shoulder issue. It's come out that he's actually got a potentially a labral tear. So not just an AC joint injury, which was kind of what was discussed previously, but there's actually, yeah, some quite significant damage to the shoulder. Usually it's like shoulder reconstruction type stuff. So it seems like they're really trying to nurse him through the season. I wonder if it's just because the Dolphins are still somewhat, you know, in finals contention mathematically. You kind of think as soon as the Dolphins are no longer a mathematical chance, they're just going to shut him down because he's obviously a key player for them, right?
Yeah, it's the kind of injury that can go at any time again, even if he does get needled up for it. So, look, he's a guy I kind of more luck than good governance don't have him in my team because I've looked at him maybe 5 or 6 weeks at different times and just haven't pulled the trigger. I think he's a sell regardless. You've got to get that cash moving elsewhere because he's about to hemorrhage cash. You can never play him given the uncertainty, so it's time to go.
Absolutely agree on that one. So a couple of key players, obviously Payne Haas, so not named. So we expect him back around 21. I think, and shout out to the boys from the Magic Sponge podcast, so NRL Physio himself, he's talked about basically as soon as Payne Haas is back, don't have any concerns for his performance. So he's going to be full go. It should be totally fine for him once he's back on the field. Now, Nathan Cleary, I'm sure we'll come to him a little bit later as well, but just really briefly on his injury. So he's named on the 24 jersey, I believe. So there's whispers that he is basically guaranteed to play this week. What NRL Physio is saying, again, shout out to the Magic Sponge podcast, listen to it in a lot more detail, but basically once he's on the field, there's probably no expectation that's going to be impacts on his performance. So he should be full go as soon as he's on the field. So I think that would probably apply to goal kicking too, is my guess. So the only question mark over him is just about re-injury, basically. So the stats say that over the first 2 weeks, coming back from a hamstring injury, basically any sort of soft tissue lower leg injury, you've got an increased 10 to 15% higher injury reoccurrence, re-aggravation over the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, you're talking like, you know, one every six, seven players coming back from a hammy injury could re-injure it in those first two games, or, you know, one in 10, obviously, if it's around the 10% mark. So obviously this was a reason I held off on Nicho Hynes back all the way back in round 4-5. And, you know, that burnt me then. I wonder, like, is this the same situation? Because I see it differently. I mean, how do you read it?
Yeah, I see it a bit differently. Obviously, the re-injury risk is the re-injury risk, but Penrith have clearly been doing better than keeping their head above water in his absence. At this stage, going for the three-peat, Cleary's not rolling out of bed unless he's 100% fit. So, you know, you got to hold on to see if he's named. For a lot of us that have got SJ in that backup half position, they kind of don't mind that Cleary's got a really high break even and you kind of get a free look at him this week if he plays. But I do think it's different. I do think Penrith have much more runway to wait on Cleary until he's fit. I think the Sharks didn't start the season well and kind of there was probably a little bit of an urgency to look at Hynes, even though he came back with a bang as well. So, yeah, Cleary in 24 is interesting. I would have thought that, you know, they wouldn't play silly buggers if he was really good to go. It kind of lends me to think that maybe he does miss this week because they've got no reason to rush him back, but who knows? We'll have to see what goes on there. But, mate, I've got to call it out. You haven't got any other injuries on this list. Ben Trbojevic did his hammy in training on Sunday, and if you're like me, one of the 7% of owners that have him, that is an AE nightmare that's finally gone away. So one of my precious, precious trades that I was looking to have to earmark to move him on looks like I'm in the clear for at least a few more weeks.
That's fair. That's fair. That's my bad. I normally try and make sure there's, you know, anything that's somewhat Supercoach relevant, I want to talk about it. And that's my omission there. So fair call. That's a lucky one for you. And unfortunately, the Trbojevic is right. Their bodies just don't seem designed for football, even though they're obviously really good at it when they can play.
Yeah.
All right. Judiciary-wise, pretty simple. No players missing time. Everyone's just free to play after more fines. Let's jump straight into the teams for the week.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations, the rest of you made the team. Except you, you and you.
Obviously, it's the third week of the year where, you know, we've got these challenges with Origin players named, and I'm sure whether they're going to back up given the game Wednesday night. So we will rip through this, but it is a critical week in terms of the last opportunity to really jump up the ranks given final teams tend to look similar-ish. So we'll kick off with the Knights, Tigers, Friday at 8 p.m. Gagai back for the Knights is probably the big in there. But for the Tigers, plenty of good news. Api Korosau back a couple of weeks early from that broken jaw. Alex Twohill from suspension and Api coming back pushes Simpkin to the interchange and Twohill's on the bench. Obviously, a lot of Supercoach interest here, particularly at the Knights with this matchup, mate. Headlined by Kalyn Ponga, one of the most popular trade-ins this week. I guess we don't really do must-haves on the pod, but his kind of run over the next little while is about as juicy as it gets given his form.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've said it for a while, like, it wasn't ever going to be a question of will he play well, because we knew once he moved back to fullback in particular, he was always going to score well. The risk has always been, you know, about the injuries and in particular the concussion concern. It seems like you see him on the field, it doesn't seem to bother him. He's full of confidence and he's just going out there and doing this stuff. So I really think, yeah, it's going to be hard to ignore him against the Tigers, who just a couple of weeks back I've been crediting the Tigers for really putting in, and despite often losing, they still would make it tough for teams to beat them or at least score Supercoach points on them. I feel that's out the window now. You can see them visibly starting to give up as soon as, you know, a couple of tries go against them, and then the blowouts are starting. So I'd be surprised if the Tigers aren't, even with Appy back, I'd be surprised that they're going to be able to put up too much of a fight against the Knights, and I think there's going to be plenty of points on offer. So Ponga is coming into my team. He's going to have the vice captain's armband as well for me, and that's more of a strategic thing because my team specifically, I've only got one front row forward that's playing this week with Joey Tarpane on the bye and Payne Haas injured. So I'm really hoping Ponga will give me something that's loopable. I only have about potentially 18 or 19 playing, depending on who's backing up from Origin. So my AE situation is not too bad. So I'd love to be able to just captain Joey Tarpane and then not have to worry about a front row forward.
Yeah, fair enough. Speaking of people who won't play this week, Miles Martin, probably a premium dual position enough. I'm bringing him in this week, a dual front row, second row, base price. He's not going to sniff the NRL squad unless there's some kind of catastrophe. So perfect guy to move up and rotate with the Joey Tarpane, Tohu Harris, all that kind of stuff to free up the cash for the Pongas. And shout out to Dane Gagai, he's a bit of a super pot option, only 1.8% owned. He's rocking a 70 average. He's an absolute premium option at centre wing. But unlike Val Holmes at 850K, Gagai is more than 200K cheaper at 640. So again, you know, if you're struggling for Ponga and for feeder money or Cameron Munster, you know, someone like a Gagai is, I guess, a cut price premium option is doing about as well as it gets in centre wing.
Do you think Marju versus Gagai is a conversation worth having?
Marju's probably out of the woods with his selection, you know, woes. Like he's probably discipline accepted, locked into that side, whereas the defense, you know, for the longest time his defense probably meant he wasn't always a lock. So, you know, but at the same time, I really do, if Ponga's firing like he is, he elevates everyone around him. So that probably brings his winger into play a bit more often than Gagai. So I guess it's probably Marju for the ceiling over Gagai, but again, Marju far, far more heavily owned. So, you know, we all want to get that pod that's going to kick on for the final run home. So, yeah, if that's what you're looking at, Gagai, you could do worse than Gagai. Bulldogs Broncos, Saturday, 3 p.m. Interestingly, so your mate Wilson, who crossed for his Hattie on the weekend and tunned up, he's retained his position even without Okar named to back up. Moves Karaz to the centre. I'm not sure what that's going to do necessarily for his work rate. He'll obviously get a few more tackles. Corey Waddell is at lock as RFM moves to prop with Ryan Sutton out. And Kirk Cable's back for the Broncos on the edge. And Corey Jensen's at prop with Haas out, as he mentioned. So Bulldogs came back to life a little bit against a very understrength South side. Still not a lot of Supercoach kind of love there, for at least in final team terms, right?
I think this is too much risk that the team will change it up again because, yeah, like they obviously, I don't think it's a year that they're going to be in contention, and I think it's looking to the future. Now, Avarillo, I've heard a few people interested in him, obviously tunned up himself last round, I believe, so I can understand, you know, the appeal of a more affordable centre wing fullback. But I just think Avarillo, his base just isn't there. He could easily be moved any time. And the fact is, he's already signed with the Dolphins, so there is no future for him at fullback. And if the Bulldogs aren't competing and it's not working out, I can certainly see that he might just be shifted back to center. I don't think they'll drop him, but I just think, yeah, he may not stay at fullback because there's no benefit for him to keep playing there.
I'd say Reed Marnie's probably the only shout as a cut price backup hooker option that you wouldn't mind playing in your 17 if Harry Grant gets rested anytime. So 499K, you're not paying Damien Cook money. And obviously, you know, for the likes of people with Sonny Luke, or if you got JMK money to downgrade, I think you could probably do worse than having someone that can, you can play in your 17 at a pinch for the run home with him.
Do you reckon Jacob Preston is a trade out, or do you think he could be someone you just leave in your team hanging around until, you know, maybe he's your 20th man or something like that?
I think I feel like he's hit a little bit of a wall. Obviously, I watch the Doggies closely, and his base is still kind of mid to high 40s, which is very respectable for an edge player. But the explosive plays aren't there, the tackle busts are dropping off, and with those tackle busts dropping off, so are the line breaks and stuff like that. So I think he's done his job as an absolutely exceptional cash cow for the year and signed off with a 50 for round 19 and did his job for that. But I think he's turning to David Fifita for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. The fact that he's been shifted to the right edge as well, definitely I think that, you know, unless, I mean, Toby Sexton may suddenly form a combination with him, but there was a lot of appeal of him being on the left, running off Matty Burton's hip, which obviously Billy Kicks, you'd expect him to be there next week or soon enough, basically. So, yeah, I think Preston, if you're running low on trades and you've got enough money to get big guns like Fifita and other players like that, then I think he's okay to hang around. Just I definitely think the upside's not going to be there anymore just with the attacking stats.
Yeah. Seagulls, Cowboys, the middle game on Saturday. Technically, they're both 1-17. We know all the Supercoach relevant players there. I just did want to shout out Nane there. I think he was the highest scoring second row, highest averaging second row last year. He is at 614K, but only 1.8% owned as a pod. So 2RF this year, certainly for final teams, bit of a cookie cutter. Vast majority of teams will have Fifita, they'll have Hopgood, they'll have Nikera, maybe they have Bateman, then Tohu or Taps, you know, one of those guys they're rotating in. Nane is a really big left field play, and given the way the Cowboys are playing and his nose for the line, he could be a real point of difference for the run home.
Yeah, I like that shout, especially if the Cowboys, you know, they're arguably the hottest team in the comp right now form-wise, and they're obviously finding lots of opportunities for attack. So for an attacking player like Nanai, I definitely think he's a really good shout, especially at that low ownership. The only concern I have, obviously, he's carrying that hip pointer injury, I believe, that he, you know, hurt in training. I mean, it's just a pain tolerance thing, but I think we've seen in recent times what those hip pointers can, they basically stop the players from playing. They just go off and they can't come back on because it just is that painful. So
once it cools down. Yeah, absolutely. Roosters Storm, I guess the marquee game of Saturday night. The Roosters struggled to score all year. They've got some troops coming back. Jake Turpin at hooker. We've got Cheese and Egan Butcher on the interchange and Joseph Suli'i on the wing. Storm are 1-17 after that weird capitulation to the Panthers after looking like they were going to put 60 on them in the first kind of 20 minutes of the game. Ended up barely scoring a point the rest of the way home. But look, you know who you own. Cam Munster is probably a guy a lot of people are looking to get in for the run home. 72 average, but I'm not sure if he's a priority buy this week.
I think his break-even is very reasonable. His price is good. So if you don't have more pressing issues, I definitely think Munster's an option if he backs up. Just back to the Roosters real quick. I mean, Joey Manu is someone who's, you know, he's been disappointing for a lot of the season, but he's been in a bit of a hot, I mean, he's hot generally, but a bit of a hot patch of form recently, especially over the buys. So I kind of think with him being worth over 700K, like I kind of see some appeal with Joseph Suoli'i playing on his outside now, being, you know, what, 394K, break even of an 11, goal kicking for the Roosters still while Sam Walker's out. I don't mind a downgrade freeing up over 200K and Suoli'i might still get some of those attacking stats off Joey Manu at right center.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, but these guys were playing with the same, you know, players with Cheese, with Turpin, with Manu inside him, Suoli'i, and obviously he's that cheap for a reason.
Well, he was playing at left center previously, though, Suoli'i. So
oh, I thought he played some right wing as well. So he did play some center, though. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think only one or two games he's been on the right wing. So definitely, I mean, I think we know eventually the right winger will score some tries. I mean, even Junior Parga got a couple of on the right wing there, so
yeah. Probably not against the Storm though, to be fair. So Warriors Sharks Sunday 2 p.m. game over in New Zealand. Josh Curran's back on an edge, pushing, I think he got a double, didn't he, Mitch Barnett, into prop. Sharks are 1-17. Most people loaded up on them, as many Sharks as they could get for last week, and did most people well. I guess for me, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm an owner, I've got a decision point around for Noah Blake. He's had a couple of down Supercoach weeks, even though he's been awesome in the NRL. He's down to 649K now with a break even of 118, and he is also highly owned. So is he a guy that you look to move on, or do you write him out?
I guess the question is, who do you move him on to? Because I don't know if there's that much of an edge for anyone else at front row forward, unless you want to roll the dice on someone like Coutinho continuing his attacking stat run, Or maybe you think Haas is just going to be an absolute beast and hit 80s for the rest of the season. Like, that might justify a trade. But as our trades dwindle, I kind of feel most of us are probably saving them up for players in other positions, basically.
Or injuries, yeah. There comes a time when an upgrade from a kind of premium to a premium plus player is worth less than a trade, right?
Yeah. I think it's not like, because, you know, it's not like, I don't think Fenua Blake's going to drop out and become a, you know, a 40-point spud anytime soon. He's still going to, like, 55 might be his baseline. So he's hitting 55s and then he still jags the occasional attacking stats, especially with the Warriors getting that nice little run at the back end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he crashes over for a couple later rounds too.
Yeah, that round 23 to 26 run for the Warriors is sweet. Dolphins-Panthers Sunday game. Kaufusi's back on an edge, pushing Kenny Bromwich to prop. We've talked Cleary in the 24, but unfortunately Sonny Luke is back on the interchange for owners like myself, as that, I mean, he is almost the dictionary and definition of an AE nightmare, isn't he? And Salmon's on the interchange as well, dropping Hosking and Peachy out to kind of reasonably well-owned super coaches.
I think Sonny Luke is like the dictionary definition of let's not buy into a player's hype in preseason, you know, training, preseason coach speak. What else is there? What else did we fall into the trap of?
He must have been training the house down, I'm sure about that. I don't know what else, but I'm not sure that I ever believed that he'll play 50 minutes to Mitch Kenny's 30, but that was another narrative that kind of made me go, oh, maybe I will start with this guy. He's pretty cheap. Yeah. And then not so much. But I think for me, again, kind of searching for those pod options, Brian To'o, I can't remember the last time he was owned, only 10%. He's usually one of the most popular center wings for good reason. 628K, almost pod percentage for him. Compare that to, you know, he's 40K cheaper than Jermaine Azarco with a break even of 117, who's more than 50% owned. So again, you know, what you want to be looking for if it's a 50-50 call between a lot of these guys, and you can throw a blanket over so many center wings this year, looking at the ownership percentage is what's going to define, you know, whether you can get it up as many ranks as you can.
I know there's been some interest in Isaac Tongo, who has been on an absolute tear in recent times. I think he's got a three-round average of 92.7. And, you know, a lot of it coincides with Nathan Cleary being out of the team. So I think, look, he's obviously playing really well, having some absolutely fantastic games. I think he played possibly his best game, you know, in his career, basically, the last time he ran out in the field.
He did.
But I do think for him, you know, you've got to be a little bit more careful, because obviously with Cleary out, they've been a lot more left side dominant, and just having Jerome Luai there taking control of the team and feeding him really quality ball, I think that's helped his scores. So I do wonder if Cleary comes back, if that's going to, you know, even up those left and right edges. Because I think, yeah, if you've got a choice between attacking through Jack Cogger and attacking through Jerome Luai, you're probably going to lean towards Luai's side. So I'm not saying Tongo can't get it done, because he's obviously in really good form, but I just, that would be my only hesitation on going all in on someone who's 660K and ultimately a non-goal kicking center, even if he does play for the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to go right for Tongo to be a viable super coach option. Absolutely everything. And again, you know, the more Cleary's back, the more that right side's going to get fed. So not for me. Eels Titans, the late game on Sunday. Sean Lane's mustache named on the edge and pushes Maddo back to the interchange with all the different swapping in and out there at the Eels. I think, pretty sure the Titans are 1-17. Tino is obviously the big call there. You mentioned him earlier, but he is 835K, which is a truly crazy amount of money to be paying for a prop, or I guess he's got that dual. Brian Kelly, though, we talked about Dane Gagai and other people as megapods. Brian Kelly's rocking a three-round average of 82. He's 635K, so he's right around that Maju Gagai kind of price, but he's 0.5% owned, Wilf.
Yeah, he's a massive, massive pod, and if he jumped on, well done. I think, like, we've seen him for years be very super coach relevant when he gets opportunities, right? He's got the right type of game. Decent work rate, loves an offload, loves a tackle bust. And in a Titans team where they can put up points, like, he's going to get those attacking stats. So I think the knock's always been on his ability to stay in the team. He's been dropped multiple times this year. So that's the risk, I think, more so than anything. And plus, he's had some injury issues himself. So, I mean, this late in the season, definitely don't mind rolling the dice or not. The only hesitation I have generally with Titans attacking players is they don't have a very nice draw for the rest of the season. You know, the Eels, Roosters, Cowboys, Warriors, Sharks, Panthers, Storm, and then round 27 versus the Bulldogs. Like, potentially, that those are six of the eight or nine toughest defensive teams in the NRL right now. So, yeah, I can't get around that. Like, obviously, if you had them, that's great. Yeah, I just think it's a little bit risky from my perspective to chase the attack from a Titans player just with that run home.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, that's the teams for the week. I guess we've got plenty of stuff to talk about, but around our group comp, mate, I've been away for a couple of weeks, so keen for an update.
Yeah, so thanks again to our friends, TaylorMade, who stand for Excellence in Wall and Floor Tiles. So even though you've been away for a bit, we still got the same guy right at the top. So Ryan, the coach of Financial Panther, he's been there for a while now. He's dropped a little. I think he was third the round before, down to ninth after the bye round, but still in a really good spot. Second in the group comp is now Edwin, the coach of Lux for Losers, who's sitting in 16th. So still a blanket over a handful of options up the top there. It's still anyone's game. So yeah, if you are still at the top come end of season, $500 up for grabs for you. And if you happen to be a champ, you'll get $1,000 in total with the $500 champs only bonus thrown in there as well. If you come second or fourth, you'll get a platinum subscription courtesy of our friends from Rugby League Fantasy Pro. That platinum subscription comes with access to all four of their fantasy apps in 2024. That includes Supercoach Pro, Fantasy Pro, DraftStars Pro, and Punter Pro, basically valued at $90 each. 5th to 10th place in the group will get a $30 voucher to use in 2024, which effectively covers the cost of Supercoach Pro, or you can apply it to any of their other subscription packages. So jump over to rugbyleaguefantasypro.com for more info about what's offered. And thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity. So, Joe, you know, obviously for yourself, sitting pretty in the top 1K again, I mean, how many trades do you have at the moment and how many players do you have this week?
So, mate, I'm down to nine coming into the week. I do have that one boost left, and the idea always was that I was going to use it in round 20 to start bringing some of the real cavalry in. So, for me, it is Ponga and Fifita in, as well as our mate from Newcastle, the dual position Nuff. So that's pretty locked in pending, I guess, Fifita's injury in Origin. I know you mentioned the Titans don't have an amazing run home, but, I mean, he's pretty bulletproof, right? He's matchup proof. He's done it against some of the best teams already this year. And, you know, thank God for Kieran Foran, right? Because I think we credit him with really turning his attitude around, and I'm going to ride it home even at the premium price, because I think Fifita is, again, we don't do must-haves on this podcast, but he's about as close as it gets, I think, for the run home.
Yeah, it's hard to argue, right, when you're positionally that far ahead of everyone else around you. I, too, will be bringing in Fifita. It's a little bit tricky, obviously, with him playing the final round, but no doubt we'll get some mail throughout the week. And I guess the one thing is that probably handy is that if, for whatever reason, Fifita's ruled out, then there is the option of pivoting to Tino and vice versa. So I think both are going to be good options. I know you mentioned before with Tino, the attacking stats and stuff like that, but Tino, his base and base attack is just off the charts lately. And yeah. I think, you know, he's hit 90, 72, 70, and 70 in base and base attack in the last four rounds. And that doesn't include his attacking stats in there. So with that flaw, I think, yeah, it's hard to argue with Tino being a genuine option too. So,
yeah,
look, I'm not as well positioned as yourself. I've only got six trades available. Obviously, no boosts like I haven't had for a long time. My team's pretty complete except for, you know, I don't have Cleary, I don't have Fifita, and I don't have Kalen Ponga. So two of those guys are coming in. I also don't have Cam Munster, but I'm, you know, outside of that, I've got a fair bit of depth. I've only got, I think, three Nuffs, and that could be where I finish up Nuff-wise. So a squad of 22, you know, most of the premium guys, it's going to be a bit dicey, but I think I'll be able to sneak home.
Yeah, I don't think you need to really sweat. I mean, again, this has been by far the most varied Supercoach year. Part of it's the 17th team opening up a lot more roster spots and, you know, the rolling buys and all of that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't stress too much if you can't get Fifita or a Ponga or a Harry Grant or something like that. Yes, it's going to cost you probably overall in the long run, but at any given week, if you've got an option that's kind of a B to their A or A+, I don't think there's enough money going around in team values that everyone has everyone that they want. And if they do have everyone they want, they're no doubt thinner, you know, so they can't resist, you know, injuries in the same way because they won't have the depth. I mean, there's only so much team value to go around. So I wouldn't stress out too much. Like, I'm carrying Nick Meaney for the run home as my kind of backup fullback to swap in depending on matchups, you know, with an Asako or someone like that, or a Ruben Garrick. So, you know, he's not probably in anyone's top five or six centre wings for the run home, but he's probably 7 to 10. And I'm happy with that as a backup centre. It's just not worth a trade to move him on for someone who he's proven he can score equally as well as at any given week.
Yeah, I think the availability of players come end of season is going to be massive. So having those couple of trades spared to, you know, we saw how many restings in the final round last year.
So many.
Plus there's now an extra buy with Eels players in round 27 this year, right? So it's going to be really tricky to navigate that last period. And I dare say there's going to be plenty of opportunities for points to be made up in the final rounds. So yeah, those trades, we might need to reassess how we're going to use them. So I might have to go plan out what I'm going to do with my six precious trades left.
Absolutely, mate. Well, we'll get you to it. Thanks, everyone. Good to be back, and go Queensland.